Ничего не пишите.
Не пишите.
Ничего не читайте. Не
читайте.
Ничего не говорите.
Говорите.
Ничего не
печатайте.
Het Canadese Motland kennen we vooral van You Do Right, dat er straks nog aankomt, maar ook van Hot Garbage, La Securité en Natsuko Chiba, die hier al eerder passeerden bij Signaal Ruis. Dit waren labelgenoten van hen, het trio Victim, met een voorloper van hun tweede plaat En Conversation Avec. Dit was Raison Encore van Victim. Rehash is een Antwerps trio op een Duits label, Mangel Records. En toeval of niet, op hun debuut-EP Action Reaction zingen ze in authentiek punk Duits, maar ook in authentiek punk Engels, zoals op dit toch weer aan Duitsland refererende King of Weimar. Hier is Rehash.
Forest into a Desert van The Intima. En het was een post-punk kwartet afkomstig uit Portland, Oregon. Ze maakten furore met hun artpunk van 1999 tot 2004. De band die had maar een kort bestaan, maar ze waren gekend voor hun wervelende liveshows. Met onder andere The Rapture, Q and Not You en The Meekons. Ze klinken een beetje als de Amerikaanse versie van The X en hun plaat Peril and Panic is nu geremixed en geremasterd, waardoor het nu nog directer klinkt. De vinyl komt binnen 2 weken uit bij het post-present medium. De zieloze appartementsblokken die je vroeger in Oost-Berlijn kon vinden, die noemden ze plattenbouw. Het waren niet de vrolijkste plekken om te wonen. En de soundtrack bij die gebouwen die zou perfect kunnen verzorgd worden door de gelijknamige band uit Berlijn. Ze brachten vorige week dit donkere Held in Koers uit plattenbouw. Held in
Yeah.
Good for you, en ook voor ons, anders zou het niet in onze playlist staan. Dit is een nieuwe single van het viertal 40 Feet Tall uit Portland in Oregon. En dan een man die hier al met verschillende muzikale projecten is langsgekomen. Chris Natividad mocht al op onze aandacht rekenen met Marbled Eye, Aluminium en Public Interest. En nu voegt hij daar nog Blue Zero aan toe. Live is dat een trio en volgende week verschijnt het debuut. Een van de nummers op Colder Shade Blue, want zo heet de plaat, is dit Scar van Blue Zero.
Thank you. together. We won't get it back. I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait.
Velvet, gloednieuw van het New Yorkse viertal Voyeur. En dat staat op hun nieuwe EP Something Becomes You, de opvolger van EP Ugly, en die was nog maar van dit voorjaar. We gaan eruit met You Do Right, onze helden uit Canada. Na twee uitstekende platen op de kruising van shoegaze, krautrock en postrock, komt er binnenkort alweer een nieuwe aan, opnieuw bij Motland. Eén nummer is al uit en de gouden mix die werkt nog steeds. Hier is nog Spirits Heavy But Not Overthrown van You Do Right. Veel plezier met Sterrenplaten zometeen en tot volgende week.
Welcome to another deep dive. This one's going to be about art.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's about art and current events. Yeah. It's for people who like both of those things.
Gotcha.
And this is one where we're eavesdropping on a debate between two artists.
Okay.
And it's about an art project that tackles the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
Wow.
In a very provocative way.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So the two artists are named Hero Workman.
Okay.
And Andreas Maria Jacobs.
Great.
Workman is the artist behind the Kienkampf Gallery.
Yeah.
And he calls himself a working class hero.
Right.
And he reached out to Jacobs with an idea for a project.
Right.
And the idea is a digital art exhibition centered around the phrase New Auschwitz.
Oh, wow. Okay, so right away, we're in a very charged space.
Yeah.
Right? Using New Auschwitz.
Right.
Immediately invokes one of history's, like, darkest chapters.
Right.
Like, just the weight of that term.
Right.
So the question becomes, like, what is the intended impact of using that comparison?
Right.
And then also, what are the potential consequences? Because, you know, you can't just throw that phrase around lightly, it seems like.
Yeah, and I mean, Workman, in his initial email to Jacobs, doesn't mince words.
Okay.
He really, like, lays it all out there.
Okay.
And he sees the situation in Gaza, especially after the October 7th attacks, as a reflection of the horrors inflicted by the Nazis.
Wow.
The suffering, the global community's response, he sees direct parallels.
Yeah, and this is where, you know, the idea of Holocaust inversion comes in.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a perspective that argues that directly equating Israeli policies with the actions of the Nazis is itself a form of anti-Semitism. Right. This conversation really highlights how sensitive and potentially fraught these comparisons are.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is a really difficult conversation to have.
Yeah.
But it's important, I think, to have these kinds of conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, Jacobs pushes back hard.
Okay.
He's not afraid to disagree.
Okay.
And he doesn't hold back.
Okay.
He pulls you into this whirlwind tour of historical atrocities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Rwandan genocide, the Syrian civil war.
Yeah.
And he's building this case that while the situation in Gaza is obviously tragic,
right.
He says that it differs fundamentally from the Holocaust in its scale and systematic nature.
He's drawing a line in the sand, it seems like.
He is.
Yeah.
Now, Workman doubles down.
Okay.
And clarifies that he's not saying the two situations are identical.
Yeah.
He's arguing that using New Auschwitz is about conveying the intensity of the suffering in Gaza.
Okay.
He wants to break through what he sees as the limitations of mainstream media and their narratives.
So this is a critical distinction.
Yeah.
Because it gets to the heart of artistic license and responsibility.
Right.
Right. Can art, even with the best intentions, be a force for change without diminishing or trivializing historical atrocities?
Yeah.
It's a tightrope walk.
It is. And that's kind of where Jacobs lands, is can a title as provocative as that overshadow the message?
Yeah.
And he seems to think it might.
He's skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is.
And understandably so.
Yeah. And, you know, he questions whether art alone
right.
can make a dent.
Yeah.
These deeply rooted political and economic systems at play in this conflict.
Yeah, he seems to be advocating for a deeper understanding of the root causes, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, rather than just commenting on the suffering.
Right. He wants action, not just commentary.
Exactly.
And to illustrate that point, he suggests that Workman connect with Rob Schrama,
okay.
who's an artist known for his nuanced and informed work on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
So he's saying, look, if you're going to tackle this sensitive topic,
yeah.
you need a more nuanced and informed approach.
Right.
This might need a much larger canvas than a single art project.
And this back and forth between them, I think, throws a really tough question at us as the audience.
Yeah.
Can art really be a force for change in the real world?
It's a big question.
Or are we just admiring a message on a canvas while atrocities continue?
Right. Are we just passively observing this?
Right.
It's a powerful image. And it makes you think about that question, like, does anything really change?
Right. Like, are we even capable of changing?
Exactly.
And it's interesting because Workman talks about how focusing on the optics of the conflict, you know, the way it's often framed in the media might actually be perpetuating the cycle of suffering.
Oh, interesting.
He wants to push past the headlines and grapple with that raw human element.
Yeah, like get to the heart of it.
Yeah, and he says it's not about taking sides.
Okay.
It's about recognizing our shared capacity for suffering.
Our shared humanity.
Exactly. And this is where the conversation, I think, takes a fascinating turn.
Okay.
Because Jacobs, while he is skeptical of the New Auschwitz concept,
right.
he seems to agree with Workman on a fundamental level.
On that human element.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. He acknowledges that deep-seated human capacity for inflicting pain.
Yeah.
And the role of media desensitization.
Right, because we see so much suffering in the media all the time.
All the time.
That it's easy to become numb to it.
And he admits that even he would rather focus on his own spiritual evolution than dwell on the horrors of the world.
I mean, haven't we all been there?
Oh, absolutely.
Right. It's so much easier to just turn away.
It's a very human response to want to shield ourselves from pain.
Absolutely.
From that overwhelming weight of the world's suffering.
And so that's, I think, Workman's challenge, and maybe the challenge of art in general.
Okay.
Is to kind of shake us out of that complacency, to make us feel something, even if it's uncomfortable. So that we're moved to act.
Right. And Jacob's being a bit more pragmatic, sees the limits of this approach.
Okay.
He brings up Picasso's Guernica.
Oh, wow.
That iconic anti-war painting.
Yeah.
Almost as a counterpoint.
It's a brilliant comparison.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think, did Guernica actually stop the violence that it depicts?
Right.
Did it prevent future atrocities?
Right.
Or is it more accurate to say that it serves as a stark reminder.
Okay.
A testament to the horrors of war that we can't afford to ignore.
So are we supposed to just throw our hands up and say, well, art can't change anything, so what's the point?
Right, like why bother?
Yeah.
I think that's where this conversation pushes us beyond a simple answer.
Okay.
It's not about finding solutions within the canvas.
Okay.
Or the sculpture itself.
Okay.
It's about what happens after we encounter the art.
Okay.
Does it spark a conversation? Does it change how we see the world even slightly?
Yeah.
Does it make us think about things we'd rather ignore?
Right.
Those are the questions.
And Workman seems to think that art can do all of that.
Okay.
And he keeps circling back to the idea that it can force self-reflection, both individually and collectively.
Okay.
He talks about recognizing suffering as a universal problem.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, something inherent to the human experience.
That's powerful because it transcends political boundaries.
Yeah.
Religious differences, all those things that tend to divide us.
Right.
It goes straight to the heart of our shared humanity.
But Jacobs remains unconvinced.
Okay.
Particularly about the effectiveness of this specific art project.
He's still hung up on the new Auschwitz.
It seems like it. Yeah. He sees it as workmen making a statement, shouting about the horrors of the situation, rather than offering a tangible way forward.
So he's concerned about the potential for further polarization.
Right.
For deepening the divides that Workman claims he wants to bridge.
But Workman pushes back on that.
Okay.
And he says, look, I'm not trying to offer easy answers here.
Okay.
He's more interested in stirring something within the viewer.
Okay.
Prompting them to grapple with these complex emotions and questions on their own terms.
So leaving it open-ended?
Yes.
Okay.
He wants to leave us with that final lingering question.
Which is?
New Auschwitz. Does anything really change or are we unwilling or unable to change it?
It's a question without an easy answer.
For sure.
But it's one we all have to wrestle with, both individually and as a global community.
It's a big one. And what do you think? Can art be a force for change in the real world? You know, it's interesting. What makes this whole thing so fascinating is that they're both willing to, like, ask these hard questions, and they push each other to really think critically about the role of art in a world that's, you know, overflowing with information, with suffering, that often feels too vast to even comprehend.
And what I think is really refreshing is that they're not afraid to disagree.
Totally.
Like, they're not trying to come to this, like, neat little resolution or a single right answer.
Right.
It's like they're modeling this kind of intellectual honesty that you don't really see a lot these days.
It feels very authentic.
Yeah, totally.
And I think you can feel the respect
underneath
it all, even when they're challenging each other's ideas pretty intensely.
Which I think speaks volumes. It suggests that you can have these conversations about really complex, even contentious topics without, like, resorting to personal attacks or shutting down the conversation.
Right.
Just because you disagree doesn't mean you can't have a conversation.
Right. And so it's like, where does this all leave us?
Yeah.
Workman seems to still really believe in this idea of New Auschwitz as a catalyst for change.
He's committed to the idea.
Yeah.
It seems like.
He's really committed.
Oh.
He sees it as, like, this necessary provocation.
Okay.
A way to jolt people out of their complacency and force them to confront the brutal realities of this conflict.
Yeah.
And just more broadly, like, the human capacity for inflicting suffering.
He doesn't want us to look away.
He does not.
Okay.
But I keep coming back to Jacobs's point that art alone might not be enough. Like, we need to look deeper, right?
Yeah.
We need to address the political and economic systems that allow these cycles of violence to continue.
That's a really important takeaway, I think, from this whole conversation.
Absolutely.
It's a reminder that while art is powerful, you know, in raising awareness and getting us to reflect.
Sure.
It's not a magic solution.
Right.
It can't just like dismantle these huge power structures or resolve deeply entrenched conflicts overnight.
So it's not an either thing, right?
Exactly.
It's about recognizing how interconnected these different things are and finding ways to work within them to create change.
I think that's a really good point. Like, it's about understanding how art, politics, economics, how they all kind of play into each other.
Yeah, and recognizing we all have a role to play.
Absolutely.
Even if they look different.
And maybe that's a good place to kind of wrap up this conversation.
Yeah, this has been a really thought-provoking deep dive.
Yeah.
And I think it really speaks to the responsibility we all share to engage with the world in a thoughtful, compassionate, and impactful way.
Yeah. And not shy away from the hard questions.
Absolutely.
Even when they make us uncomfortable.
Exactly. And I think that's what's so great about these deep dives is that we're left not with easy answers,
right,
but with deeper questions.
Yeah.
And with a desire to kind of like go out and learn more and do more.
And that's a powerful place to be.
It is.
Because it's in that space of questioning and seeking that real change, I think, becomes possible.
I totally agree.